Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. We're beginning a brand new series today. So Father God, as we launch into this series today, I pray that you would give me wisdom, you'd give everyone who speaks over these next 6 weeks wisdom, Lord, as we jump on the snakes and ladder board. Lord, I pray we'll have a lot of fun, but more than that, we will learn more about who you are, and we will grow in as individuals in our leadership and move forward. Amen. Who played snakes and ladders as a child or as an adult? Shoots and ladders, apparently, in America. Shoot, they always do it different. You always do it different. Snakes and Ladders is not the oldest board game. Chess is the oldest board game. But Snakes and Ladders has been around for hundreds of years. Okay, it's been around for centuries. And it's a game of chance. For those who have never played Snakes and Ladders, it's a game of chance. You roll a dice. There is 100 squares on the board. And if you land on a ladder, it's good news. You climb up the board, and it's the first to cross the 100 squares. But if you land on a snake, you can drop very quickly. You could be on square 86 and find yourself on square 16 as you roll down the board. And Pastor Brian Houston, probably about 4 years ago, spoke a message called Snakes and Ladders, and it kind of stuck in my head, the concept of it. I'm not going to share his message, but life is a little bit like snakes and ladders. And we all make choices, don't we? And sometimes we don't make choices. Sometimes life makes choices for us, like what we landed on at the moment. You know, none of us predicted 2020, where there'd be restrictions on our movement, restrictions on our gatherings, restrictions. But some, you know, we could see that as a snake, or actually we could see as a ladder. And I think we've got to actually choose to see 2020 as a ladder, not a snake. If you see it as a snake, you'll see that your life has gone backwards. But actually, if you see it as a ladder, I think there's probably so many areas of our church that have moved forward. So, I think each ladder and snake is a moral lesson. So when we land on a ladder or a snake, they're both moral lessons. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see two things. First of all, God is having a conversation with a snake. Now, if I'm right, Steve, that is the enemy. He's described as a snake. And if there's one creature I do not like, it's snakes. Any snake haters in the room? Any snake lovers? Anyone, I don't care. Okay. I don't like snakes. I'm good with spiders. Okay. I'm good with maggots. Okay. I could put my hand in a bowl of maggots. If you gave me £20, I'd even eat one. Okay. That wouldn't even bother me at all. Maggots, spiders, but snakes. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil is described as a snake. Now, snakes are carnivores. They love meat. Isn't it interesting that the enemy likes to go after us, humans? There we go. That's one of the world's big ones. That's a real snake. That's not Photoshop, that's a real snake. Okay? That's why I don't like them. Okay, I'll put another. There's another one. That's mum. She's staying with Neil and Sheila. They were out in the back garden last week. So that's a big snake. But who knows that snakes on snakes and ladders board, they come in little sizes and big sizes. And in life, sometimes what we think is a ladder can turn into a snake. And sometimes what we think is a snake can often be a ladder. And the enemy loves to take out God's children. In the very same book in Genesis chapter 8, Jacob has a dream. And he sees a connection between heaven and earth. It's a ladder. And ladders are straight. They should be. Ladders represent direction and they represent security. God's plan for your life is clear direction, safety, and security. The enemy's plan for your life, like a snake, is bendy, it's slippery, and they represent a loss of balance, and they represent a loss of direction. So in this series, we're going to look at some potential snakes that the enemy wants to throw at us, which we can slip over, and also some potential ladders that God wants us to climb. And, you know, people say phrases like, are you on the ladder yet? That means, are you on the housing market? Why? Because being on the housing market is perceived as a huge success. It's seen as your life is moving forward. It's moving upwards. It's moving in the right direction. But the enemy has one plan for your life, John 10:10, is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is the plan. You know, we all talk about God's plan for your life. You know, the enemy's got a plan for our lives just as much as God's got a plan for your life. But God's plan is abundant life. That's God's plan for your life. But the enemy wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy your dreams, your marriages, your plans, you know. And for Chantel and I and for the team here, one of the challenges we've had from COVID is not necessarily the physical disease, but actually seeing what COVID has done to people's lives is the enemy has come in like a little snake, and the little snake could be, hey, just skip online church this week. Just watch a film. Just go to the golf course. Little snake. But people don't realize that little snake can actually cause huge damage in people's lives as they make a poor choice off the back of that. And so everything we're doing in church is to try and get people back up the ladder, get people's lives moving in the right direction and moving forward. And it's a constant tussle between snakes and ladders. It's a constant tussle between life and death. So every week we're going to address a different ladder or a different snake, okay? I want to share a ladder. We're going to start with a positive this week, which will take your leadership, your life, and those around you forward. And our leadership, and I'm talking to a room full of leaders, can also be a ladder or a snake for others as well. So it's not just about watching others or watching you. Our decisions and choices can help people either move forward, up a ladder, or they can actually push people onto the wrong path where they slip over. And when I've led my best and when you've led your best, people's lives move forward. But when I've led poor, people around me fall over. So the choices you make and the choices I make actually affect whether people climb in life or whether they slip over in life. Snakes and ladders. And our goal in life should never be just to move ourselves up. Our goal in life should be to move others up. You know, through my podcast, my tagline is, as you lift the level of your leadership, others will rise around you. And it really is true. When you rise, others rise around you. But when you slip over, and I've seen it so many times, guess what happens? It can pull other people down with you. When you have a bad attitude, here's the thing. People around you can have a bad attitude. But when you have a good attitude, people can have a good attitude around you. So it's how you deal with the snakes and ladders of life don't just affect you, but they affect the sphere of influence that you have. So let's start with a ladder. Next week, Chantel is going to start with a snake. It's going to be amazing. Let me start with a story. I was 10 years old, and I attended St. Edmund's Middle School in Tavram. What a start. And I was top of the class in everything. Not true. 10 years old, I was playing for the school football team, and my head teacher was called Mr. Beacock. Okay? Did anyone else have Mr. Beacock as their head teacher? Okay, it was just me. Okay, so he was my head teacher, and I'd played a game the night before against Sprouston High School, or Sprouston Middle School, Falcon, I think they were called, Falcon Middle School. And in the assembly, it was a normal assembly, and halfway through the assembly, Mr. Beacock got up to speak to give the sports update. And in front of the 200-plus people, 200-plus children in the class, in the assembly hall, he did this. He publicly commended me for being a good footballer, encouraged me. And I spent 4 years in that school, 4 years. I cannot remember one thing I learned. I cannot remember anything really about that school. I've got some very vague memories. But I can almost still picture myself, where I sat, who I was sat next to, the words he said, the room, because of that one moment. So I had thousands of hours of lessons, thousands of different, you know, memories of that school, but the one memory that I can remember from that school was the moment where I was publicly commended for whatever I did on the football field. It cost no money, it took less than a minute, but it marked my life forever. I want to talk just for a few minutes on the ladder of encouragement. The ladder of encouragement. But I also want to touch on, just as much as encouragement is a ladder, discouragement is a snake. And we're going to touch on that a little bit. But, you know, we live in a world where discouragement is everywhere. There's never been a season in our world, probably, where so many people are feeling discouraged. Probably the reason you're here today is because you're looking for some encouragement. Would I be right? You're looking for a lift in your spirit. You're looking for a lift in your home. You're looking for a lift in your marriage. We're all looking for a lift. We're looking for a dose of encouragement. And, you know, things can get us discouraged. Switching on the news yesterday, I got pretty discouraged. Okay, it's very easy to have your encouragement pulled from you to get discouraged. Getting on the scales. Has anyone poured milk on your cereal and then realized the milk is out of date? I mean, that is just the worst moment ever. You know, the sun could be shining, you're having a great day, and then someone comes along and just somehow manages to discourage us. Some people, including myself, don't even realize we're doing it, and we've all been guilty of it. We went to Greece for a week during the summer, and it was incredible because 9 out of 10 people we spoke to before we went said, "Do you realize it could go into lockdown? Do you realize you might have to quarantine?" They were so happy to tell me all the things that could discourage me about going to Greece. I thought, that is the world we live now, where the quickest thing we can do is discourage someone. And I'm like, well, what if it doesn't happen? Which it didn't. What if we have the best holiday ever? Why do we have to live in a world that constantly has to look for snakes, not for ladders? Why do we constantly have to think about all the things that could go wrong, not all the things that might not go wrong? Why do we have to put up the worst report instead of the potential best report? Why do we have to live in a world where we live in for snakes, not trusting God with ladders? So easy to get discouraged. I believe as followers of Jesus, it's our job to challenge the culture and give people an alternative ladder. When people offer us a snake, we can actually give them a ladder. And as I've said so many times before, we're not building British culture here, we're building kingdom culture. This church is built on kingdom culture. It's a culture which is above what we know. It's a culture above what we read and what we hear. There was probably the key biblical encourager was a guy called Barnabas in the New Testament. He was a Levite. His original name was Joseph. And he was nicknamed Son of Encouragement. It's a pretty cool name, isn't it? Son of Encouragement. Because everywhere he went, he left a trail of encouragement. He was like, here comes Barnabas. And every time he appears in the book of Acts, he's encouraging people. So question for you and question for me. If our friends gave us a nickname, what would it be? Encourager, lifter, giver, faithful, blessed, highly favored, integral. What would your nickname be? I wonder if it would be Barnabas. Or would it be cynical, negative, opposing, dissenting, critical, defeatist? There's so many names that we can be attached with. Gloomy. They're always at the scene of the crash. I talked about this to our staff. Some people are always at the scene of a crash. If there's a crash in church, is your name attached to it? Do you know all the details about it? You shouldn't. We shouldn't have our name attached to the scene of the crash. We should be far from that as possible. The dictionary word for encouragement is to inspire someone with courage or confidence to do something. To inspire someone with courage and confidence to do something. I tell you what, if our world needs something right now, it needs more people who can inspire, encourage with confidence. So I'm going to give us some steps, okay? Just give us all some steps on helping people climb higher with the ladder of encouragement. Okay, so this is the ladder we can all climb. We can climb it personally. And remember, when we climb, we help people up. Okay, remember, you affect the people around you. You can either bring discouragement, which will affect people. They can fall down on a snake. Or you can encourage people and help them climb up. Number one, you got to embrace encouragement as a lifestyle, not a moment. We all have moments of encouragement. Okay, you're all good at, you know, it could be a birthday party. And you say something nice about someone. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of something, but encouraging one another." Paul recognized the Hebrew church was discouraged, and he encourages the believers. Hey, not just for a second or a moment, but actually a culture of encouragement. Paul's saying, don't just watch each other going for a hard time, but consider one another. Encourage one another. Alan was talking in Circle this morning about, you know, as a church, we're really good at this. So I feel like I'm singing to the choir this morning. But I believe it's an area we can go to a next level. And we can help people climb the ladder. There's never been a time in the history of us leading this church where we need to encourage people. Whether it's the person at the supermarket, we were in Tesco's yesterday, and Chantel's just got this unique way of this lady just getting in her spirit and lifting her and leaving her better than where she, you know. Don't bring your trouble to the supermarket. Be the person who takes person up the ladder. And I love this church wholeheartedly, because when I come to church, I always feel better because people encourage me. We can't lose that. We can't lose that in the nursery, the foundation. We can't lose that in the church, the staff. We can't lose it on anywhere. And it can't be just a moment. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be who we are as a church. We've got to take it into our work, our school, our shops. You know, we can't be all encouraging on a Monday and encouraging on a Sunday and discouraging on a Monday. It's who we are. You say, well, I'm struggling encouraging others. You know, the first step to be encouraged is to encourage. The first step to going up the ladder is to encourage someone else. And if you struggle encouraging others, maybe the first step is to stop discouraging others. Maybe you're not ready to start encouraging others. Maybe the first step is just to stop. Maybe silence is best. You know, I've never met anyone who doesn't respond to encouragement. Alan spoke about it again this morning. We all respond to encouragement. Deposit encouragement into your conversations, your emails, your messages, your letters. One of the things we don't do at Soul Church is we never sign our emails off without anything at the end. You put a God bless or a best wishes or a thank you, but we don't just send cold emails because that's what the world does. We're to be like Christ. We're encouraging people. We love people. You know, I read this yesterday. 65% of the workforce in this nation received no encouragement last year. That is outrageous. 65% of people, and we wonder why we are known as a nation of cynics. We know why we're known as a nation. It's just sad. Because we don't encourage one another. And I believe that it can start in the church. We can be a catalyst. We can be people. But it's not just a moment, oh, I encouraged someone today. It's who you are. Don't know who wrote this, but it was brilliant. It says, man cannot live by bread alone. That's why he needs a bit of buttering up. We all need some butter. Bread without butter is not good. I'm not into it. Life needs a bit of butter. Let's use our words. I said on Sunday when I was praying, I said, let's use our words, whether the devil hates them, to build people up. So embrace encouragement as a lifestyle, not a moment. Number two, embrace encouragement because it changes the atmosphere. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Without exception, encouragement always, thanks, Anna. Encouragement always changes the atmosphere. The mood of our nation's pretty grim right now. One of the reasons it's grim is we need leaders to step up and encourage and bring hope. No doubt about it, there's a real enemy out there. It's an invisible enemy called COVID. But it still doesn't mean we still can't encourage and bring hope. And as leaders, we can do that. Encouragement changes someone's day. And here's the good news. It changes your day too. When you encourage someone, it takes a little bit of boldness, but you always feel better afterwards. So everyone's a winner with encouragement. You move up the ladder, and guess who else moves up the ladder? They move up the ladder. Some people are literally, they're at base one, they're at square one. Our job is to try and get them to their destiny, which is square 100. They don't know how to get there. They keep making choices. Hey, a little bit of encouragement. Proverbs 11:25. Those who refresh others will also be refreshed themselves. So you both move up the ladder. And in the busyness of task, and I've made mistakes with this, but in the busyness of task, don't forget to encourage. A few years ago, I was in Lisbon for a church conference, and some of you have traveled with me. Sometimes I go to places, and when I'm there, I'm thinking, what am I doing here? You say yes to things. I was in Lisbon, and I got to the end of this conference and thought, I don't even know if I've achieved anything here. I felt like I just didn't connect. And this guy from Switzerland, he came up to me, and for 10 minutes, he just prophesied over me and prayed for me. And I don't even remember anything about that conference. All I remember is this one, never heard from him again. I know he could have been an angel. But that whole trip was worth it for that one moment, because that guy stepped out, encouraged me in that moment where I was feeling despondent, discouraged. And he said, hey, I just want to prophesy over your church, over you as a leader. And literally, I went up the ladder. You know, sometimes that word that God gives you, don't hold back. You know, you might not be able to give a hug to someone right now, but you can give them a voice note. You might not be able to, you know, go around their house for dinner, but you can write them a letter. There's things that you can do to keep encouragement. Often, you know, encouragement doesn't take money. It takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. Often we think we've got to spend money. Sometimes encouragement is sending someone a gift or buying them a present. But, you know, I also say this when it comes to changing the atmosphere. We're very good at encouraging people behind their backs. I think as a nation, we're actually really good at this. We're not so good face-to-face. Australians are a lot better in your face. They'll just tell as it is. They'll tell you if they love you. They'll tell you if they don't like you. I like that. And Brits are very good at not speaking to your face, good and bad. I think there's one thing to say something good about someone behind their back. I think there's something else to say it while they're in the room in front of you. And I want to encourage you to never assume that people know you care. You've got to verbalize it. Don't assume, oh, you know, well, I think Chantel loves me. No, she's going to tell you she loves you. It is complete opposite to what the world says. The world says gossip, tear down, backstab. You know, the snake, he hates this stuff. Goff said this, if you treat people as they are, they will stay as they are. But if you treat them as they ought to be, they'll become bigger and they'll become better. I'll read that again. If you treat people as they are, they will stay as they are. But if you treat people, if you treat them as they ought to be, so you encourage them and say, hey, I see where you are, but I also see the potential of where you can be. This is what happens. They grow and become bigger and better. You can't treat people as they are. I pray that this is a greenhouse, this is an incubator where people can grow and climb and build. And our duty as followers of Jesus, our duty as leaders, is to help people climb the ladder. I think pride is probably one of the biggest enemies of encouragement, because we're scared of what people will think. We might sound silly. I put this to the test last week. I started talking to a completely unchurched guy. Do you ever have those moments where you keep bumping into the same person? It's like you see him in the coffee shop, then you see him in the city, then you see him. This guy, I literally keep bumping into him. God's like, this isn't a coincidence. This is a God incident. Okay, so I keep bumping into this guy called Dan. And Chantel, she's with me as well. I'm like, there he is again. It's like four times in the month. We just end up at the same social event. And God's like, that's because he's yours. I want you to help him go up the ladder. So I'm laying in bed the other night, and God starts putting this guy on my heart, saying, I want you to send him a prayer. And I'm like, what? He's going to think I'm so weird. And then I get a word for him. So I have to really frame this well, because he's a smart guy. He's a solicitor. I said, hey, Dan, hope you're well, da-da-da-da, you're the usual jingle jangle. And I said, this might sound really strange, but I believe God has given me like a special word for you. So I send this word about the challenge that he's faced, he's going to come out, or this, I won't share it with you, but anyway, sure. So he comes back and goes, wow, that is spot on in my life right now. Then, on the Saturday, we get invited to a coffee thing. Who's there? Dan the man. Talk about awkward for me and him. But you know, this is what God does. Why? Because God wants you to take people up a ladder. If you're bumping into people irregularly or regularly, there's a reason for it. They're on your map. You know, I think we multiply the impact of our lives when we encourage others. If you want to multiply the impact of your leadership in your life, how do you do it? You do it by encouraging. You know, I'll be really honest. I'd much rather hang out with an encouraging person than a well-educated person. Because one leaves me feeling a lot better and one makes me feel stupid. And I think if you're saying, how do I grow my leadership? You can start, before you even read a book, just by encouraging people. Because if you encourage people, people want to be around you. If you inject energy into an atmosphere, people want to come back to that room. If you sap energy from a room, let me tell you, people do this. Because right now, people are like, I need people around me that are going to help me. You be that catalyst. You be that person. Is this helping? Okay, this is the ladder of encouragement. Number three, embracing encouragement when it's uncomfortable. You've got to embrace it when it's uncomfortable. You know, for some people, encouragement is easy to take because you're used to it. But for others, encouragement, you ever heard that? I can't take a compliment. Some people struggle with receiving it. And that's okay as well. Some people are uncomfortable when they get told they excel in something. It's like, what do I do with that? Oh, that's... And often, and I don't want to get too deep here, but if our dads haven't been in our lives, or our dads never affirmed us when we grew up, we struggle when others do. And this is why it's so important, mums and dads, that we encourage our kids. Because if we do not encourage our kids, and if you're not married, take this on. When you encourage your children, here's what happens. It allows them to open the door for when other people encourage them later in life. But as dads or mums, if we stop encouraging our kids now, what happens? They don't know how to receive it. So when someone pays them a compliment, it's like water off a duck's back. And so this, for our kids, we're constantly encouraging them and building up. And let me tell you, they get ticked off as well. So it ain't all a bed of roses at our house, okay? My son, 9 o'clock last night with the Lego bag, bang, all over the floor, okay? But you've got to keep that spirit of encouraging them. And if you don't come from a culture of encouragement, it can be hard to embrace. Maybe your family, friends, boss never gave you much encouragement. But just because you have never accepted encouragement, it's not too late to start. And maybe it's something you need to pray into and say, God, I'm really struggling receiving encouragement. I feel like it brings memories from the past. I never got it from my dad. I never got it at home. And so, God, I need you to help me. I mean, it's a crazy prayer, but God's into it. I need you to help me receive encouragement. Because we need encouragement. The Bible calls it refreshing to the soul. It says it refreshes you. And so, if that's you, we're going to pray for you at the end, by the way. I'm not looking for hands. I'm not looking for anything. But, you know, for some of us, this is the fruit of that is this. When we don't receive encouragement and allow it into our heart, what happens is we then don't reproduce it into others. And then we stop encouraging others. And what happens? They feel the same way. And so that's why 65% of the workforce in this country never got any encouragement last year. Because we don't know how to receive it. Because of past experience. And because our past experience creates our present behaviors. Number four. We've got to embrace encouragement, but don't expect encouragement. And this is critical. You've got to embrace it, but don't live to expect it. First Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abandon the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, whatever happens, if you land on a snake, if you land on a ladder, if you're under a good leader, a bad leader, if life is good, if life is not so good, you've got to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. As great as encouragement is, the challenge is when you try and encourage people, you can be sitting there and say, oh, I didn't get any. You know, half the house is a minefield for us. Because people say, well, why didn't I get included? Why didn't my story get told? I didn't get encouraged. How can they always say that? Well, you know, we could all find holes in what we do. But that's where you got to go. Okay, God, and we'll come on to this in a minute. I've got to embrace it, but not expect it. If you live for the affirmation of people, you will get let down. Chantel's going to be touching on this next week because it's a snake that will take you out. Rejection. And we can depend, trust me, I have made this alter ego. You can depend so much on positive feedbacks, on likes, on comments. It becomes an addiction. Praise can become an addiction in people's lives. So on one hand, there's some group of people that they don't even want it and they're no good at it. And then the other group of people, they can't get enough of it. Steve was telling me, and Jin was telling me, and I read an article on it as well. The founder of the like button on Facebook has removed himself from Facebook and social media because he is seeing the damage that button has done in people's lives. Because if you don't get 100 likes, or 500 likes, or 1,000 likes on a picture, no one loves me. Why didn't he like my photo? Why did she like it and he didn't? And so it's creating more, the opposite of that is creating so much damage, is becoming what was meant to be a ladder in people's lives is now a snake. And so we can't function with or without it. It comes, becomes a stumbling block. So we've got to embrace it, but we can't expect it. And it really builds on to the next one, which is critical. You've got to embrace encouragement in yourself. So what happens if Pastor John, Chantel, Steve, Rach, Alan, Katie, what happens if they do not encourage me for the next 12 months? What about if I never got one more positive comment on my social media? What if no one encouraged me in the creative team, in the kids team? What do I do with that? Here's the answer. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord. My identity, my value, my like button is in my heavenly Father. This is so important. You want to climb the ladder? Often we're waiting for someone else to give us a lift up the ladder. And let me tell you, I believe we have a duty to help each other climb the ladder. But there are Christians in places like Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan and North Korea. Let me tell you, there are no people pushing them up the ladder. They are going to the Word of God. This is why we need to understand a big God in a small setting where we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. There was nothing about David's situation in that moment that was encouraging. He found no confidence in man. David's returned from war. He finds the city of Jerusalem in ruins. His own people have turned against him. But he says, David encouraged himself. There's going to be times when family, friends, and John and Chantel don't give you the encouragement maybe you even deserve. But this is where your identity has got to be in God. He is Abba. He is your heavenly Father. So how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? That's a great question that you didn't ask. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Because it sounds good, doesn't it? You know, there's so many preachers, encourage yourself in the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's three ways to encourage yourself in the Lord. Best way to encourage yourself is to focus, number one, on what you do have and what you don't have. I think do you know what? When I watched that footage from India and Pakistan, I felt a little bit more encouraged because straight away I'm going, life isn't too bad. When you see hundreds of people, children, lining up to get water and food every day, I've been to those pits. That's where people live. You know what? I feel encouraged. Spirit of thankfulness will keep you encouraged. So the Bible says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Often we misinterpret that as coming to church with thanksgiving. Obviously, his presence is here because the Bible says, but what he's saying is every time you open your Bible, every time you open in prayer, start with thankfulness. Start with that, because why? You encourage yourself. You know, one of the things I've been doing is just listing every day. Thank you for my wife. She puts up with all my nonsense. She puts up with all my crazy behavior. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my home. Thank you. Thank you. You know, you start listing your thank yous. Suddenly you're like, I'm not as discouraged as I was 2 minutes ago. What are you doing? As David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, when it comes to encouraging yourself, spend time in God's presence. You've got to be intentional. When people ever say to me, I say, how's your quiet time? And they say, oh, I just pray throughout the day. Make them sound like some sort of spiritual. Now, we all pray throughout the day. You need a dedicated time. Oh, I just talk to God throughout the day. Great, I do that as well. But you also need a dedicated moment where you separate yourself. Because you can talk to God right now in your seat, but it's not a dedicated moment because there's distractions. It's valid, but it's not as when you're on your own. And so spend time in God's word, in the presence of God. You know, one of the reasons we're seeing a fall away in online church is because people haven't found the practice of encouraging themselves in the Lord. They rely on this platform. They rely on someone else to give them a punch in their spiritual lungs every Sunday. And now we're going, God's going, I've just taken all that away. So what have you got left? People are struggling because you've got to learn the practice of encouraging yourself in the Lord. And the third thing you do is you've got to focus on what you do have, get in his presence, and then you got to, this is really weird, you got to speak to yourself. You ever pulled up at the traffic lights and there's the odd guy speaking to himself in his car on his own, behind his mask? Anyway, you got to speak to yourself. What do you do when no one else is encouraging you? Alan says he thrives off encouragement, and I do too. I can relate to that. What do you do, Alan, if no one's encouraging you? You've got to speak to yourself. You know, on a Monday, one of the things I do is I tell myself I did a great job. I say, man, you did great yesterday. Went to bed on Sunday night. I said, John, you did great. I tell myself I preach well. I tell myself success is on the way. I tell myself, you've got to speak to yourself. Oh, that's too weird. Well, stay on the snake. Ladders, sometimes you've got to speak. I'm not talking about in front of people. I'm just talking about yourself. You're going to do great today. Bible says faith comes by hearing. For the rest of 2020, encourage yourself. You know, come hell or high water, I'm going to continue to be in his presence. I'm going to continue to encourage and speak to myself. I'm going to continue. Put on, as Rachel prayed this morning, put on the garment of praise. Put on your worship. Put on your worship on your iPlayer. I actually think discouragement is a choice. If you have friends who discourage you, get new ones. Honestly, get some new friends. I'm doing it. If you've got friends who've discouraged you, just get out of the room. If the thing you're watching on TV is discouraging you, switch it off. For fear to grow, you have to feed it. You know, Number six, last one. You've got to embrace encouragement as a secret weapon. It's actually a secret weapon. Some of the biggest encouragers I know aren't the most gifted. But they have so many followers. Because people love to be encouraged. Knowledge, write this down, knowledge does not always equate to followers. Knowledge does not always equate to influence. Knowledge does not always equate to friendship. But encouragement always does to all three things. The greatest way to start developing you as a leader is to start encouraging. I'm going to just finish with these two stories. I had two major influences on my life as a young leader. I had many, many major influences, but two major influences. One was before I graduated, and two just after I graduated and got married. I nearly gave up Bible school in 2003. I was, Chantal and I were courting, and it was tough. We had no money. And we were driving 50 kilometers to commute to church. We planted a church out in the northern beaches of New South Wales. And we'd asked, and we went out there for a Friday night for youth group, Tuesday night for group, and Wednesday night and Sunday for church. So we traveled out. So we had no money. I've told you the story of filling up the car with no petrol. I mean, that was how desperate it was. But there was a call of God. And one night I'd had enough. I've got no money. I don't see my life going. I've got four kids in the youth group. I don't like the pastor. I mean, it was just, you know, I was just having a discouraging moment. And I drove. I stopped the car. And I called a man who spoke in here called Mark Hopkins. And I literally just vomited all over him. We've all done that, haven't we? I want to give up. He says, where are you? And I said, this is where I am. He says, don't move. I remember he drove all the way from his house, 10 o'clock at night. And he pulled up the side of the car. He got in my car. And for the next half an hour, he just encouraged me. He said, John, don't give up. Destiny in your life is bigger than this moment. He just poured love and encouragement. He says, and he could see something that I couldn't. He could see the top of the ladder. He could see the squares towards the back end of my life. He says, if you give up now, you're going to throw it all away. If you give up now, I'm speaking to someone in this room, you're going to throw it all away. Because you're going to complete the game. You're going to win the game, but you can't give up now. And sometimes we get caught. Let me tell you, I was literally on a snake. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to slide down that night and go home and probably end up, I don't know, selling cars or something like that. Nothing wrong with selling cars. But God's call on my life was to lead this church with Chantel. We would never have had our children. You know, sometimes it's defining moments. Thank God that he had the capacity and he had the wisdom to get out of his house that night and come and find me. You see, that's what encouragement does in a person's life. It takes you from a snake to a ladder. People are looking for us. People can be healed by encouragement. You can literally, our team are amazing. They can literally have a conversation with Chantal or Rachel, and you can come out going, I feel healed. That's how God wants you. He wants you whole. But the enemy wants you on a snake. He wants to see your slippery path. God wants to place you on ladders. Very first time, just after we got married, in fact, I don't even know if we were married. I was in Los Angeles. And somehow, I don't even know how the connection happened. I'd connected with Pastor Matthew Barnett at the Dream Center. Some of you heard of him. And I was a kid, straight, hot-headed Bible school student, straight out of college, graduated. Once you graduate, you think you can do anything. They don't prepare you for building projects and Corona and all those things. They don't talk about college. I remember he reached out to us and said, hey, I want you to come and see what God is doing at the Dream Center. And we went on the Monday, and he said, hey, can you preach for me on the Wednesday night at the Dream Center? I was 26 or 27 years old. And I remember that night, I said, what do you mean? Can I? He says, no, I believe in you. I remember I went out and bought a new shirt and went out in the sun to get a suntan, and I got completely roasted. And that was the worst I've ever been burnt. I remember standing up there as a cherry in this big church, and everyone just laughed and laughed and laughed. And my very first line is, just laugh, get it all out of your system. There we go. The Brits come over to LA and got burnt. But I never forget that night, because he believed in me. You know what? We've got to believe in people. Even when they're at their worst, even when they're burnt, even when they're on a snake, even when they're ill-prepared, even when they don't know what they're talking about, you've got to keep believing in people. See people at the top of the ladder. See people at the end of the board. Don't see people on square four or square five. See them where they can be. Sermons come, sermons go, but encouragement sticks forever. Scottish scholar William Barclay said this, the highest duty of humanity is the duty of encouragement. The highest duty. Let's make a commitment. We're going to be known as a Barnabas or a Barnabaness. Take people up the ladder. Make a personal commitment this week to spend some time with someone, to coach them, to have a coffee with them, to email them, to build them up. The first thing we're going to do is build ourselves up. I want us all to stand. We're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Come on, we're going to encourage ourselves, because you might feel encouraged today. I hope you do. If you don't, I'm sorry. But if you do feel encouraged, that's fantastic. But here's the deal. You can encourage yourself. Don't be the person who arrives to work waiting for it, expecting it. Come to work already that you've been encouraged, because you've been in the presence of God. You've confessed the word of God over your life. You've confessed you're the head and not the tail. You've confessed you're healed, not sick. You've confessed you're going to be friendly. Confess it. All right, everyone close their eyes. We're going to practice it. I want you to encourage yourself. Not anyone else in the room. I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can do it quietly. You can do it loud. You're doing a great job. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself you're doing well. You're doing better than you think you are. You're not who you used to be. You all know the message. Come on, let's not focus on what we don't have or where we used to be. Let's focus on what God is doing right now. Father, I pray right now you'll help people. First of all, delegate some specific time to enter your presence with a spirit of gratitude. And Father, I pray that we would be able to fill our own tanks. Lord, our identity, our affirmity, Father God, our encouragement, it comes from you. It does not come from anywhere else. You are who validates us, Father God. Thank you that we're your children today. You are our heavenly Father. Maybe we've been hurt by our earthly father. Maybe we've been let down. Maybe we've never received encouragement. But today we receive it from you. God wants to know he loves you today. He's well pleased with you. God wants to know that you're going to make it. God wants you to know that your future is bright in him. God wants you to know that this situation, this season is not going to take you out. God wants you to know that He is your protector. God wants you to know He's not forgotten about you. God wants you to know that you are in front, not behind. God wants you to know today that you are blessed. Come on, I am blessed. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. I am blessed. What the enemy meant for evil in my life, God is going to turn it around for His good. My children are blessed. My home is blessed. My finances is blessed. I am not going to settle. I am moving forward in Him. I am going to be an encourager. I am not going to live with discouragement. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on, His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping might be for a night, but there is joy, there is blessing, and there is miracles that are coming. Come on, receive it right now. Receive it. God wants you to fill. That's it. Top up right now in His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray right now. It's very private. I want to pray for people who struggle with receiving it. I believe that there's a blockage in your life, and today God wants to open that blockage. I thrive on it. Alan and I were both saying we thrive on encouragement, so we don't have any problem. But I know there's a lot of people you might struggle with it, and that's absolutely okay. But that's not how God created you. God created you to receive His love, to receive people's words. If you struggle, no one looking around, this is private, but if you struggle to receive, I just want to pray that that blockage, God will literally be able to open that up. So when people give you positive affirmation, they encourage you, you'll be able to receive it. It'll go in your spirit because it's going to affect how you live. It's going to affect those around you. So I want to pray right now. If that's you, you struggle to receive it, just lift your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All good. Father, right now, I pray for those who there is a blockage and they cannot receive, could be even receive who they are in you. But I pray right now that you would help them, Father God, receive affirmation and encouragement. First of all, Lord, I want them to know that you are their Father and you love them unconditionally. Despite anything that's happened in their past, you love them. And I pray right now that something's going to shift in their spirit. Something's going to happen, Father God. And as words are spoken, they wouldn't be just pushed back, Lord, that they would be received and they would go into their inner soul, Lord, and they would have an effect on who they are. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Even today, Father God, I pray that we'd get tested on it. And rather than just shirking it off, we would say, thank you. I receive it. I want you to say, next time someone encourages you, I want you to say, thank you. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. I don't need, I keep forgetting your name. Is it this gentleman here with a Tom? Tom. God wants you to know He's well pleased with you. I know you've sacrificed a lot over the last few weeks and your world has gone up topsy-turvy and you thought you meant to be here and you ended up there, and there's been all sorts. I don't really know your story, but I heard little bits and pieces. But God wants you to know He's well pleased with you. And you're exactly where you're meant to be. All right? So you can question a whole lot of things, but just settle in your heart. Right now, this is exactly where I'm meant to be. And God wants you to know that He loves you. He wants you to know He's cheering you on because you're His son. All right? Let's just pray. Normally we'd put our arms on you, but we won't because we get in trouble. Father, I thank you for Tom. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his heart to serve you and build your church. Lord, in the midst of this, all of this uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing, he can take comfort in the fact that this is exactly where he's meant to be. What the enemy meant for evil, Lord, you have turned around for his good. So I pray, Father, today, Lord, he would just receive that word of encouragement that he's loved. Receive that word of encouragement. This is where he's meant to be. Thank you. Your plans are to prosper him. Your plans are to bless him. Your plans are to move his life up the ladder, Father God. Lord, there's destiny, Father God. There's nations, Father God. There's so much in his heart, Lord. As he keeps putting you first, as he keeps taking those brave steps, Lord, you'll add all those dreams into his heart and into his life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.